Sikt.
Bjungel. Kakum kuni ni cikunilani unna mekka. Tapi mirit mi aku na u mikpak. Pingnak cara sebuta ya kulit. Kipai lekata pingnak suyak buta takuam. Cet asat peh kaput. Allah tuhulutin pipeta. Umun sucali. Paska mun nasaru shooting pemeng makutta chali su asat huap kalarut kat allah tu kuluting peta kinguksiki nakluni pishuk ng renengstiga nata nikangstiga nata kwane kwat nit nguluta man makut Yakul gitkit khit kaisun atul khait or kaisun huangkuta yukuni pisul khakhput upn khakhpak. This talk show is on the waterfowl. Today, Friday, we have been trying to set this up for the past week or so, but couldn't get a spot in for it to come on air. But today, we are fortunate that it's happening. I have two guests here from the Wildlife Reserve, and they will introduce themselves and where they're from, where they work. So maybe I'll start with our matriarch here, Christopher.
Waka kuinga Christopher Tulka wa yuhtun su maklaolo ugutta reference information technician at Zil Kaktkat na wani Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge Army.
Espetu.
Yeah, waka kuinga ninga gasadun su Randall Friendly, use fish and wildlife on Machili Tunga, waterfall biologist Dagula. And when the position of Michali Shokta Malok Ashokugun.
Kasatun, Kasatun Jali.
And in English, my name is Randall Friendly. I'm originally from Tintatulak. I am a waterfall biologist for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here at the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. And I've been in this position for about 2 years now.
Unashukjali, this what is being aired, we're also on television. For your information, you two. So don't pick on your nose. I'm glad you two are here, especially now that the waterfowl, my tiki shooting, they're here. And some of the issues we'll be talking about will be about bird flu, a little bit about bird flu, let shots, the upcoming closure, when they'll be happening, and other issues that will be coming up. Alagot kahkaput makuta unno magka ilakce kait makuta yakulit matumk nausut ngkhit. Bird flu magpilakit man na chali su magutkani kalki chat let chat na magpilakit tamakun chali ikabakchilut kpichikuk chali su asan ktaim atuk kamt nika kaya ngungak suting toten pilutin pikata kaku agulay kay tamakut hangkuta bisuklo tapil gani hani ko without further ado Chris I'll start with you and then go on to you next.
Chipkulo ko na 30-day closure ka kanut ka kuni maya kulit kit ng akta ka mga kit humay. Doi sitoi mga bird biologist sa patuna Randall ilang kituk su ilang klakht kuna ni snami pekami. Doi madama kut mo isksikait. Doi sitoi tem kaya ang akhlutin bigata nasunet si kaita kuta EVCP tamatumk. Rinra ayok suito ka sa mekan. Doi sumagot kukumirat agasagay to 5 days later jali closure akalitin. Kaya ang ikatas doi witasuki tamani.
Excuse me. Yeah. You have anything to add?
Yeah, so I'll just reiterate what Chris said in English. So basically, you know, springtime is here, birds are coming in, and soon, you know, the snow will melt. And as soon as all the snow is melt and there's, you know, bodies of water or ponds around the coast or just within this region, when the birds have started nesting, that's when we'll put in the 30-day closure. And we decide that by first we'll have, you know, technicians and biologists working at the coast at camps. And when they're out there, they'll be able to see, you know, what's going on. Mm-hmm. They'll see, you know, birds, most of the birds have started to nest and, you know, incubate. And when I mean incubate, they'll start tightly sitting on their nest and stay close to it. And when that starts, that's when we try and start the 30-day closure for most waterfowl. And that is to, you know, we encourage people or don't allow hunting and harvest of the birds and eggs. And then for the scoter species, what Chris had mentioned, the black scoters and the white wing and surf scoters, the 30-day closure will come into effect 5 days later than when the first 30-day closure starts. And that's because these species tend to nest like a week later than most waterfowl. So it'll also give time, you know, people that hunt these species to, you know, be able to hunt them while the 30-day closure is in effect. And that decision comes with, we communicate with the AVCP's Waterfowl Conservation Committee, and we'll communicate with them, we'll propose a date, and they'll agree or not whether we can set that 30-day closure on that day.
Yeah, great. I like that, that other organizations are going to be involved in this decision and not just the refuge. It affects everybody, whether we go after for subsistence purposes, and when other organizations are involved, what are the outcomes? Like ABCP, ONC, Tamakut, Ilakluki, Matumk, Kaisun Hongkota, Yung Naksumta, Wasnagalasumta, Ayashit, Arulaji, Machit, Kaisun Tamano, Miocht, Chris.
Akahautha, Ugut, ABCP, Waterfowl Conservation Committee. Matum ping sat awani early 1980 ni populace na di kirlik pasat ni damag na yag ni kiliting matum saling sudog waterfall conservation committee doi su asa maikan doi kut AVCP Waterfowl Conservation Committee, matum 30-day close round, nasun rit fkahtarulugi. биуалахтт
я тамана а бюхтлхани лаги никаяхлитэн айгэнэрэлтэн пилхут макуунэкка тутангаягник иклэкхтлхатни тамаакут
я юклгия а а нэклхулритго унаани иснаами хонгут нэклэрник пилаарапут тутангаитлу айоқнилингут миксориар миксоорит маавт кипаллуутут аа минама кассутин
ми
тутангаитсоорат маавт нуна маанихто эримтэн кипаллуутут ахутлу нақиллхат black brand тамагутилерлуки атаатаккуаниллу эмпергусак макута натсаарлугта илаксагууллуки агуна касадуна black branded special close right zoom pick
и а китак алпцали а if you can interpret what Chris had just said and then add on to
yeah so he mentioned about the what goes on for decision making with I guess a group of entities. So you know, there's the federal, which is us, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. There's Fish and Game, that's the state, and then we have the tribes or the native group. That, you know, it's basically three groups of people that come together and make these decisions. And then for the special closure here, the 30-day closure, we meet with the Waterfowl Conservation Committee (WCC), and WCC is a group of people that come from, you know, let's say maybe Tuksuk or from a region. So we have like representatives from each community or village that, you know, we propose and discuss with them, and they can agree or disagree whether, you know, if we should choose a date or not. But eventually we will come down to a decision on a date. And for right now, the species that are of concern are the emperor goose and the black brant. And when the 30-day closure comes, the black brant, the Yuxtinhuaninqlignats, they have a special closure this year, or they have been having special closure, excuse me. So when that 30-day closure hits or starts coming to an effect, the black brant, people won't be able to egg or harvest black brant starting from that day. But also, even after the 30-day closure is up, we encourage people not to hunt those or go after the black brant. That's mainly because the Yukon Delta subpopulations aren't doing well. So after 30 days is up, the special closure will still be in effect for black brant. That'll be until their goslings will be able to fly and fledge. And that special closure is put in place specifically for the black brant to successfully hatch their eggs. And after they hatch their eggs, we want these birds to rear their young successfully. So, you know, they can, you know, migrate back down south and come back and continue their reproduction cycle.
I have a question on that particular bird, that goose.
Yeah.
Black brant. Nuklanat. Nat mun aya lachtet makut nuklanat. Nani uksumi, where do they winter and how long do they have to travel for that destination?
Yeah, so the Pacific black brant, which is the black brant that is seen here in Alaska, they'll start to leave the Yukon Delta possibly around September, October is when they start, or majority of them will be gone or out of here near the end of October. And it doesn't take very long to reach their wintering grounds. And where the black brant's winter is around, most of them winter at Mexico. Some of them might be at the northern part, at the southern part of California, but most of the black brant winter at Mexico. But also in recent years, with the changes in environment and in the direction that it's going, we started to see or notice some of the black brant overwintering here in Alaska instead of migrating down south. Mm-hmm. So that's something new that we're seeing and noticing. And also I'd like to mention where the emperor goose winters, because I I think we'll get to that.
I want Chris to do that in Yupik.
Alaska, California.
Maybe start from Chris and then Kasatsun. Maguta nqsanata ayuqat. Maybe start from Chris and then Kasatsun Pinnaran. Maguta nqsanata yaqulita mikkuurut nglatni tapaqsukiillu mikkuirlu tammaani taamukka um inqaqut klukita pingaarlukkaitammaani toillu unaanixwa snaami piwaallu tulleet maguta toillu unaanixwa snaami piwaallu tulleet maguta toillu 2017 aami nuttaan mikuqtatsiitta pilkkiwani kho makuni app ukuta Alaska Microtory Bird Commons Council 2020 management plan atni pilkkiwan qhtutamaani toillu kuu kiirulluki pisuullakkaitink 2017 aami toillu nuttaan tsuqqaunatingun unaanixtoa pisuq lakngaitta pisuqtuqallukkait toillu toi nuttaan allhaarni ajit munjali pingaarlutung maailtu allhaakumi 2025 aami attaam umuulluki ukutwani pilkkiwan qhtutama akkohowani t
Ugunaka AVCP Waterfall Conservation Committee da atu chalak ngalukit doilu tamana atu lakni dukunin Alaska Migratory Bird Commencement Council atu yakhlukulu 28,000 index. Index aguna imuqa chukun pit tagom amlhtaji qapega da tukhpignaku. Doilu kalika aguna nahu. Had not 23 unakwa 28,000 ka chukita chipsukua kulituna indexat chuk chukuti pitakan chukau natinga magutan rang naksitung bidulit pisukungaluki 28,000 klita achitun tama of pingaus katan. Morisnachluki, the Grom Pisuk Maluting. Nutan Sitoi, 23,000 resident began toy. Pisuskato in Hutachluting, towards my Ashanequa, index at 18,400 bit as Hokuna 23,000. Threshold no ring a look.
It gets put Kasadun in English.
Yeah, so I think it'll be good if I start off by explaining basically the life history of the emperor geese. So the hunting was open until 1986, and you know, Chris had mentioned in the early 80s there was a lot of mortality of, you know, from hunting pressure on these waterfowl. And since closure, the emperor geese started to, you know, increase slowly with ups and down dips here and there. And it was doing well until, or not until, but, and then we opened, or the hunting for emperor geese opened in 2017. And when that opened, there were three conservation thresholds. So we have the green area where it's above 20, when the population is above 20,000, we say that the health population is pretty healthy, and then if the population is estimated to be around between 23,000 and 28,000, that is when, you know, we will start to be concerned and meet together and talk about what next steps we may be able to take and basically start the planning process for that. And if it's underneath the 23,000 estimate, that's when harvest will be closed for hunting. And then these emperor geese, I think it'll be good to clear out some of the misunderstanding by the emperor geese do not migrate down states. They stay in Alaska. So if you look at, I'll like to say they are a Bering Sea endemic, meaning they only stay within the Bering Sea region. So here on the Yukon Delta is where they nest, and on the Alaska Peninsula. And that is a very small area, and like most of 90% of the world population nest here. And then after the nesting season, they'll migrate down to the Alaska Peninsula or the Aleutian Chain, and some may extend out to Russia, but as the extent of their distribution. So they do not migrate, you know, to California or Mexico. They stay in Alaska for basically all of their lives. And what's interesting about the emperor geese, they tend to nest every other year. So this year a goose might nest, and next year if it comes back, it may decide not to nest. So that's one thing that's interesting about this species compared to other goose species. And did I miss anything, Chris, that you talked about? I think there was a talk with the ABCC. So the decision that is made around, you know, these closures or special closures is also, again, we meet with the AMBC, which is a group of the federal, state, and native tribes. And as of like right now, the emperor goose harvest for, I guess, the birds hunting and egging is closed for this year, or will be closed until their population is above a healthy level, which is around above 28,000. And their population is, you know, given, like I said, given that they nest every other year, they may not recruit or reproduce every other year. So getting their population compared to other species is a little bit more complex. But with outreach and closures we have seen in the past, you know, their population can do well when we close hunting and people are aware that their population is low and we are wanting to get the population back up.
That's one of the things that have impressed me of emperor geese is that they don't leave this area. They may travel a little bit further north in the summertime to nest, but when they go back, they winter around Kodiak and that area.
Yes,
that's one. This goose, I'm very proud of it, and I want to say it's an Alaskan goose, because that's what it is. It never leaves. And a word, when these emperor geese start to drop below 20,000. 23,000. When it begins to drop below that number, 23. So let's put it between that 21,000 and a half, to give you both of you an edge. Down at getting after two number. It's healthy when it's above 21,000 and a half. And when it starts to drop below 21,000 and a half, that's when it starts to think about closing, or we'll be in danger of losing this particular goose. Endangered species, let's not wait until it reaches there. Let's take care of it now while they're still on in the yellow. Agunachali apit ksukuluku khalkalagot kskumaluku pikka lead shot and steel shot. Let's talk a little bit about that. Maybe starting with you, Chris. And please include what they can do if they purchase lead shots, if that program is still functioning. Ayakanjali, kailan pilhkait magut lead shot ang awalilikat. But I know that in our region, steel shot is in effect right now.
Yeah, magutua let's start the pan as who get money, Waiki Delta, a pretnica, yeah, so let me tell you, swamp area, Manahua Waiki Delta, Mahpasula,
Wetland.
Yeah. 1996, wetland, let's start it. Akmani pilaklaqaita байвнг аут қажигнарлутинглу наиуллхкайт уурлуги пиллаарлугииллуут таамактой тамаакун каскитидуллхулриит тоо тагкуам таммайтниаагуулгинэн хуаллеқайукунэн мана летсаа таққуни асихпакнани наарлуутксаг чугналуукки тоо тоо магут лассаатта камгамун итхаагаман уулуни биттууқ кумгатни иллтоо сарлуни тоо иллу юутнэрхат хутамаанаттоо нарлууннарлун тагуам кини кини хаарлуку таа пикууни иллитааллайсаартиқ чахэксэрлу пингэрми тагуум сали иллии кумга кумгами тэрсиммаа тоол нэркатхуи нэркатки юу таммаахын сали югуман хани атамана латсаатақ би чахлуни тоойлу наулуутайт аюуқфкнаатэн нанг тгэгаам макуунэк лет поизнинг якулгэт тамакун лет пеледанк нхтом тох якулгэт макэт англэрулутэн нан ваматсаанэн хони тхалхутсоогаарн хони аурулутэн ихтуит таулнахкунэн гамаанианеруттаатни хони тамакут ухтисуут клуки неқмарнун тамаакунк той летпел дан клау аурулутин пилис пима пилаллери тоиллу тамаакунк летпел дан ка якуллит маркет нериллхат магуни хуартеқлутинга унаания имарпини питуулини каугат тамаагт анеруттайтни кирлуки тарлумакниги анеруттайт кавэрснаат киумалуутин киунэрснаатин хулэртунгэрснаатин таммаилат поисингам анеруттаатни сартлеқ тамаахун той ягуулгунэн асихпкнани тоорлиукунэн цали пикууни аюоқфкнаатин цали агутнэн ахнаанэнлу хуаллеқаа ахнаққинган қингарлууни тамаакун латтаамак пингуни қингаамэн тоо салитэрсугналуку таас иқнаага юорлуни пикан арн қаллугутэрлуни таммаахт
то элпит
Alright, yeah, so in the past a lot of people have used letshot to go hunting for birds, and that's because, you know, sometimes letshot is cheaper than steel shot. And then how letshot is spread by hunting is, you know, people are hunting in areas where birds, you know, migrate and use the areas as a stopover location. And given that Yukon Delta, majority of the areas, you know, is comprised of wetlands, that comprises of a lot of ponds and lakes and, you know, river systems, tidally influenced sloughs. That kind of a habitat is great for these waterfowl. Mm-hmm. And when they're here using those habitat, they're usually, you know, foraging, eating, replenishing their reserves from migration. And some of these waterfowl like to eat sand or grit, which is used to help digest some of the berries that they can't really digest without eating like gravel or grit. And when they're at these ponds, you know, when they're foraging, they can mistake a grit or a sand to a lead pellet. And when they eat one lead pellet is enough to basically weaken the bird and eventually cause death to that bird. And how we know it's still around is, you know, we have couple studies that have looked into the effects of lead on the endangered species, the spectacled eider. And there was a study done, I think it was 20 or 30 years ago, that found there's these lead levels around some of these hunting areas, and some of the birds they tested from these areas were had high levels of lead, which mean they were exposed to lead. And there was a recent study again that basically looked at the same thing at these same areas, but here in 2022, even though we have encouraged people not to use lead shot, we still have found the lead levels to be similar as to what they were back in the day. And that is evidence and sign of, oh, you know, hunters are probably still using lead shot or are using lead shot. And we highly encourage people to use steel shot because overall, you know, lead is not good for human or wildlife health. It's once lead is exposed to you, it's basically like, you know, poisoning yourself or it's poison to the body. And yeah, and how we notice also is when we're out there or when we have technicians and biologists out there monitoring or doing like nest work, sometimes they'll come across like a weak bird, and then we'll bring that bird back to, you know, swab it, collect samples maybe for avian influenza. But sometimes when we diagnose it, we open the body, we look at the liver, and then if the liver will be mushy and the liver will be yellowish, most likely that liver is going to have a lead pellet inside. And how we know it wasn't shot is because we look at the bird and we don't see like anywhere in the body where that pellet could have gone in. And the only explanation, the bird must have consumed it, and, you know, therefore it eventually made it through the liver. And when it's in the liver, it's going to, you know, get the bird sick. Eventually it's going to get weak and eventually die. Mm-hmm. So even though it's like hard to see that these lead pellets can, you know, contaminate the ponds, even though it's such a vast big area, it can have lethal effects on wildlife, not just birds.
And on human too.
Yep, and humans too. And if it's exposed to humans, you know, it can have unwanted side effects. Like Chris had mentioned, if you're exposed to high levels of lead during pregnancy, that can cause like birth defects. And yeah, overall, lead is not, you know, good for health and for the environment.
Yes, and it brings a concern to me when you say that there was no evidence of any entry of a lead pellet going into a certain bird, but you open up the entrails, the stomach area, mm-hmm. and then you find discoloring. To me, what stirs in my mind is it might be something that they are eating.
Yeah,
it doesn't necessarily have to be lead. It's in the food chain that is changing. It might be due to all the contamination that's being dumped on our earth, and it's coming to an effect. Give or take, human beings have been here for about maybe 6,000 years, maybe more. And just think how much trash we are throwing away. And sooner or later, it's going to come out in our wildlife because that's what they're eating. That's just me thinking. Chris, una kani chali direct takaligu akunun lechata nun kaisun tamakunik awaling kunung tamakut piuk ngait ki let chatat nat munsu ayaw su ki piuk ngait ki
let chat exchange program ang tsaku twa hwani refi sami day ma awaling kuna ginaim na let chatan ka still chatan koni na vuchu ngapu tamakut akina ki Aaron Moses akwani main contact person
Doyle Lupin is kan huinga piungalukit salitamakt. Great, yes. unakhani quyak quyak lakka khrissakka pukken yuhtun jali lukasatun jali qitufchungaluni. Can you translate what he just mentioned?
Yeah, so here in our office at the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge, we exchange lead shot to steel shot. So if you have lead shot and you want to get rid of it, we can exchange that to a steel shot, and it'll be of a similar shot size too. So if you have a two-shot lead, you know, we want to give something that's pretty similar to accommodate that. So if you want to get rid of a two or four-shot lead shot, we can exchange that to two-shot or four-shot in steel. And the main point of contact for that is Aaron Moses. He's our subsistence resource coordinator here. And if he does respond, also Christopher Tulik, or he can also help exchange a lead shot to steel shot.
And what about you? Would you be able to make transitions of lead shot to steel?
Yeah, I can help out with that. If someone contacts me, which, you know, I'm willing to help out, you know, of course, I encourage people to contact me if it's any bird or waterfall related. I'll do anything, you know, in my job to, you know, help out or, you know, exchange, which, you know, would be towards the benefit of these species. So I would definitely help you get in contact with Aaron or Chris, or even if myself have to do it, I would do it myself.
Yes. And you understand and speak Yupik too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. It gives us a little plus, because a lot of our people here that are still doing subsistence speak Yupik, and that's what they prefer. Daringan ro mukhtutaw na language. Makunik na rang naklutang bilhamukhni. Ako na chali, Chris, kan-kanrut kiskumalo ko chali, bilka. Makutwani, yakulikit. Illait ka ayalrit akhavta Japanese that Asian countries tamavat ka illait makin ayatut khosqa tapqutn ritut makin unavat Mexico nunnel na ayalranan qailun tamana yuqa
magatwa yaqulut tkit tulit mavat upnakami Upgrade Nikoa Pacific Flyway. Mm-hmm. The Macandoya, Oregon, California, Washington, Mexico, Marvet, Tkits, Duliwood. There are two away upgraded in Asia. The Magutawama sword bird at Snagamit, like, my good
sandpipers.
Yeah, that my good isorat. My good try by the good dundusikat bibiget. That my sorber that my would keep to the rum unakin samakin kitvan kunakin imakin New Zealand, Australia. New Zealand armed with Australia, the Korean Kunst was done done with Korean.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit in English?
Yeah. So he mentioned there's several different flyways, and what's unique about Alaska and also here, Yukon Delta National Refuge in particular. We have birds that come from all over the world, from all different flyways. So we have birds that come through from Pacific Flyway, maybe even birds from the Central or Atlantic Flyway. We have water birds, as you mentioned, the shore birds. They come from the Eastern Australasian flyway, which that overlaps to Russia, Japan, Asia. On that eastern coastal side, we have birds that migrate from there to here to nest, and also on the Pacific flyway do something similar, where if it's springtime, they all migrate up here from different flyways, which is very unique. And he mentioned the bar-tailed godwit travels from New Zealand and nests all the way up here. And the unique thing about that species is they have the longest flight time in the world across all the bird species. Yeah. So there was, how many years ago, there was this bird that took flight and it never stopped for 7 days straight, which was, you know, incredible. And we also have birds like the Arctic tern that travels thousands of miles, like from Antarctica or South Africa, which, you know, it's basically touching, you know, all continents. So this area is a very important breeding ground for all, like, water bird species from everywhere in the world. So it's pretty cool and unique.
And that being said, that brings me to my next question, bird flu. That it's been here for a while now, and let's hear a little bit about it.
Yeah, ilakilugo na yakilut kium bifknating kotsakots nagat kium bifknating atatlu tiksidagat sa ilakilugo tkit tut mavet kaya ng ektoling toit toy nautsutit. Manna. My highly pathogenic avian influenza maka ating kha chao ga sita ma you now shoot sungat makunen so kungutoran kigan sita makun bifkinane chali su asanen kungutukan ilin kun yakulun na wildlife an pilakait tamakun ashakum 2020 mi kwak mani Europa mi tamak matumka nasunay khasut to ilu nut 2022 or maybe so. Matum nu no makani Canada me. Spakshugu. Dog and sitoi. Ukatmun sachtingaluni ki domavit ki tuk tamana. Highly pathogenic, even influenza. Doi su. Maguta. Matumka yuchtin kwa kajig nakshagin flu, bird flu, tamatula. Matumk na suit ligata, tay ma yakul ligata, nasu night to ta, unzi nating toy, disoriented. Kwi makuning kwaska ngakuning su, kwi farluting piungaluting kami kutsi toy, и тасэх битмэн хөлин иксүлэгнэрмэн на иммоктаарн цаюктаарлэни кангалуа лоорлутгнаан гассиганаатин зүтэн бүжиг гаригулутэн камиэккут уяаккут ихтарлэни нуу хунаатин лу хөлутгнсиганаатин Tamakun kletoi na sutlilti akulita ileto na la maluki na la klarait. Toi su manakwa bird flu magunun sura apritnika domestic poultry kungutugat tamakuni nalakun lakit nalakun kita chakuligi makuni chicken farmani kayang iwit king an sita makunun pifknani katlan na san sitali ungungsinun manna nalakun luku tagom toy arrived klukutai peram tu kini kumpni tai mi akulik tamatum nausutin klukuni kini kumpni kasau suku pikuni tai nkiu naksi kais pingau natal kizakhtaka maguna ilas ka tamatum toi tama kunka ma yaqulgita tkitutta tot na yuqlhaam tan khutsinna nasuunna itlhaqna li taqsuqna suq sitagoma tama kutta na sulugita taq khutski tu yaqunsitki witalukilu to toi su ma kutta yaqulgit pitaputta Auluk kumtki tai makun rapu klavan gata kuluta auluk kluki takus kumta sitta makuta atus putun kxarlu ki ruuri lu tasu pilu ta ruuri kxarlu ta sopa mukam sum gata kuluta Toi su auluk kumtki tama kutta nasunalung kappa makamakmakak su tapi yuratu kutta makun kutta pin rilingam ta kwasaka kuing edulani kuing in rilingam ta tamaki Toi su tama kun kutta kutsi hotline ahtang kutta kwani Fish and Wildlife Service ani 866-527-3358.
All right. Chris. The highly pathogenic avian influenza, or commonly known as bird flu, or just avian influenza. Is a type of bird flu virus that spreads and can cause serious illness or death in wild or domestic birds. And the term highly pathogenic means it causes severe disease or high death rates in birds. And I'm just saying that because there are other avian influenza that are not as bad as other strains. But also Chris had mentioned in 2022 there was an outbreak, and that avian influenza had originated from Europe. And if you guys, or if you heard me talk about how different flyways overlap one another when they're migrating, birds will eventually mingle with other bird species from different flyways, and that's how it starts to spread. And then when it starts to spread, it's just going to spread everywhere. So when it got to the United States, it started from the East Coast and it made it all the way up to Alaska. And avian influenza is mainly spread through bird droppings, or, you know, fecal matter contaminating the area they're in. And these are mostly around lakes and ponds that they use when they're foraging to replenish their energy. And like I said, it can spread across different flyways because some of these flyways overlap. And when they overlap, birds from different continents, of course, these birds will spread to other areas and eventually leading to more avian influenza. And where does it show up? It's a global concern, so it shows up everywhere in the world. Some cases are mild, some cases are more severe than others. And these the avian influenza can affect all bird species. This is like geese, ducks, gulls, shorebirds, and eagles. Or it can even, if it's bad enough, it can reach wildlife too, like mammals that scavenge on dead birds or that eat birds in general. And the other concern is, can people get it? Yeah, people can get transmitted to it, but it's a very rare case. Some birds may be shot and have even influenza or bird flu that won't be transmitted to person after consuming. That is because that is a milder virus compared to the other, and that, of course, is not going to affect the humans. So for most people, the risk of getting sick from avian influenza is very low, but it is still smart to take precautions, and we highly encourage that because, of course, we don't want people to get sick, and we want them to continue to eat birds and harvest birds. Some of the things you can do to avoid getting sick is by cooking the meat thoroughly or until the internal temperature reaches 116 degrees Fahrenheit. Do not harvest or handle wildlife that appear to be sick or behaving unusually. And these behaviors can be different. A bird can be walking or swimming in circles, like Chris had mentioned, with the head bobbing, which can be weird to see. It may try to fly, not able to fly, or it'll try to fly and can't keep in flight and just, you know, drop down out of nowhere. Or it may just walk up to you careless without fear. So basics are, do not touch sick or dead birds. Use gloves, wash your knives and tools after processing these birds, and cook birds thoroughly. And
our time is up, and we may have gone over a little bit, and I wanted to throw out a question at you two just to get a response of it, but I'm not going to do it now because we're out of time, and I sure wish that we had more time to talk about more and had people call in, but when we do have this again, we'll open up the phone lines for the people to call in and ask questions on what's going on. Kuya nakfani jugnil gani tamakji taimak una nangoka asil ramak umyokot mukbilu jitamakji ni jugnil gani biukji.